Hey, welcome to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Speedy Gonzalez?
It's a podcast about race, culture, and politics from a PLC perspective.
There's so much to talk about, okay. Julio. And I'm watching our minutes because it's our Friday sound off.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing we're going to talk about, hi, audience. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. And boom, we're jumping in. Okay. Because I went to sleep when the story of Jeff Bezos was popping last night. That's on Thursday night.
Right.
And the story was basically, I'm really summing it up here because we assume that you guys are reading in other places. But essentially, David Pecker of AMI and his team was threatening to revealing stuff about Jeff Bezos.
Right.
And Jeff Bezos said, I'm not afraid of you. And I'm going to reveal you, which is kind of delicious in the sense that
delicious.
Well, because what we're trying to say, journalists of conscience, I believe, is that journalists of conscience should not be had. And part of what's happening in the United States of America, and we're going to talk about that later in terms of the State of the Union,
yeah,
is being had. So Jeff Bezos was like, I'm not afraid. I'm just gonna.
And you think it's like there's questions that it's politically motivated because he also owns the Washington Post, and the Washington Post, to be honest with you, has been doing amazing journalism with the Trump administration as well as the New York Times, and they've gone after it. And basically, he's saying that AMI, which owns the National Enquirer, if this is all politically motivated, and that Bezos uses his wealth and his power, because I think that's another big point about all this. Tiene el dinero, he has the money, he has the power, and he's like, screw it, let's go, people.
Right,
it's like a showdown between the elite in a lot of ways, because the AMI is saying like, well, we'll make a deal if you say it's not politically motivated, which I'm like, that's power, right, Maria? So I just want to make a sense. It's like you're feeling that Bezos, what he did is like a good move, but do you think, because he is Jeff Bezos and because he has it.
You're exactly right. But
yeah.
But somebody's got to stand up to this kind of threat of power. And yeah, sadly,
yeah.
Let's be clear that we live in a pretty great democracy-ish.
Yeah.
But that we are subject to the same kind of corruption that exists all over the world. We're seeing it. We're seeing how things are played behind the scenes. And this is part of it. I would like to have a little bit more clarity on the whole relationship to the Saudis and how the Saudis
Saudis?
Yeah, because this is what's going on with David Pecker, is that there's some kind of relationship.
Oh, and you think because of the Khashoggi thing?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what the whole...
Oh, I didn't... Okay.
Me encanta when that happens. When
okay,
I know...
I
love it when I know just a little bit more than you. Damn hello. Like,
that's why you are an award-winning journalist and I'm just your friend.
Speaking of award-winning, wait, I want you to ask me about something that it has to do with award-winning. But before that, you know what I wrote down on my paper?
Okay, what?
I'm so sorry, people. Please bear with me. But it is a Friday.
Yeah, what are you saying?
I wrote down sex.
Oh, my God.
You know, okay, whatever. Just a little sidebar. Here's a couple. He's in his 50s, and they're kind of like in spring in love. Like, yeah. I mean, I know it's complicated. Yes, I know it's complicated. Relationships are complicated. You know, there's a whole analysis about infidelity and how problematic it is. Somehow he's resolved this enough in his family that he's not threatened by it and he's not going to be taken down by it.
The Enquirer responded on Friday saying that they're going to investigate these extortion allegations. So he kind of said, it's like a chess game right now. It's an elite chess game. And he said, all right, let's go. Like, I'm accusing you of this. And the Enquirer is like, oh, we'll look into these allegations.
It feels like in some ways that there's a kind of narrative that's changing. And part of that has to do also with the State of the Union, which is our next topic.
We'd like to call the State of the Union blues.
That's exactly what we were talking about.
Because that's how we feel about it.
Part of what I was trying to say is that there's a narrative, like Jeff Bezos is doing a narrative change and a narrative flip. I think we're seeing that in the sense of what's happening in Congress, where now we're seeing post-State of the Union congressional hearings into Donald Trump, into his own personal finances, into the policy around children being ripped apart from their parents. And so all of that within the context of still waking up and hearing about the State of the Union and the wall
And the role of the media perpetuating Trump's lies.
Exactly. So I want people to understand that this really has been a very, I actually went on my Instagram that has like, you know, 400 people that actually read the stories. It's like my most intimate reveals are on my Instagram stories.
Get really personal.
But not a lot of people are watching it. It's adorable, you know, because a lot of people are like, what is, you know. So I did my whole reveal on my Instagram story, which was like, look, this has been a really hard week. I'm here at Harvard. We're at Cambridge.
We're actually together in Boston recording.
Yeah, you went to Harvard, right?
I'm an Harvard undergrad. I've been hanging out with you all week at Harvard.
Right. So
I've seen your Instagram.
Latinos
lives.
And Latinas, mm-hmm. you know, Latinx. And I want people to understand that, like, for example, the caliber of these Latinos and Latinas and other POC predominantly and allies is to want to be politically engaged at every level. And so not being able to watch the State of the Union, purposefully having to turn away at some point because it feels like you're being I can't go as far as the where I want to go.
Just say gaslit because you say it all the time.
Okay, so being gaslit. Yeah. Exactly, being gaslit.
Or fooled. You know what I'm listening to a lot these days? The Who?
And we won't get fooled again.
We don't get fooled again.
But they're playing in Fenway Park later this year, and I'm going to go.
Ooh,
but
yes.
But I know what you're saying. But the other thing I wanted to bring up about the State of the Union, because I don't know if you saw the response by Stacey Abrams after, which has actually gotten a lot of play. But the one thing that I'm really bothered by it was when she said this about compassionate immigration policy and President Obama.
But this administration chooses to cage children and tear families apart. Compassionate treatment at the border is not the same as open borders. President Reagan understood this. President Obama understood this. Americans understand this. And Democrats stand ready to effectively secure our ports and borders. But we must all embrace that from agriculture to healthcare to entrepreneurship, America is made stronger by the presence of immigrants. Not walls.
Yeah. The thing is that, and again, this is where I love it that we as journalists have no party and that our listeners are ready to rock and roll with us as we critique everybody. But again, we can't rewrite.
And there's a lot of Latinos, Latinas who are like, yo, Democrats, don't be revising history. People are bringing what they call receipts, right? So you see, and Maria, you're one of those receipts because I believe a couple of people have called your specific reporting about detention that you did for PBS Frontline when no one else was talking about it. What was it, 2010, 2011?
2011.
Right. And you got a lot of flack by the Obama White House. So I think like this whole like thing about Democrats trying to just make it a Trump issue and not actually having this real conversation about like we had issues
the
as well.
The role and responsibility that
especially in the 2020 campaign.
You can't be asking for receipts for 1985 blackface and not be asking receipts for other things that have to do with your role in creating a policy, right?
Yeah.
That leads us to this point, little tiny policy changes that end up being children being taken away from their parents at a rate of we don't even know.
So Democrats, if you're listening, please, there's too many smart people out there who understand that you cannot revise political history.
So
topic number three,
kind of like let's make history. Right. Mm. So you kind of love this story about Nogales, Arizona.
Love this story. So in Nogales, Arizona, which people know is like
en la frontera.
En la frontera.
La mera, mera,
you have
like right
Nogales,
there.
Sonora and Nogales, Arizona. It's actually known as Ambos Nogales, which means the two Nogales. So it's like it's literally a city on the border that kind of intersects with each other. And Latino Rebels wrote about it. We have a great freelancer out in Arizona, Joe Wright, who writes. I love it. It's like Joe Wright writes. He wrote about the city council on Wednesday. The Arizona mayor, Arturo Garino, and all six city council members voted unanimously condemning the concertina wire that's been recently installed on the fence. And if people don't know what concertina wire is, it's that razor wire that you see. And I just wanted to share because Joe actually recorded part of what the mayor was saying about the meeting that he was trying to have with Border Patrol. And I just wanted to share some of what the mayor said.
We're not going to allow this in Nogales. We have we're trying to be a business-friendly community. We have children that live right next to it, 10 feet away from it. And they told Mr. Kissinger that there were no homes near it. Well, I don't know where they go, where they're going, but up on Short Street, East Street, Escalada, and Hudgens, the homes are right next to the concertina wire.
This was all done by the military. What was acknowledged by CBP, Customs and Border Protection, is that the military came in and consulted with law enforcement officials. So they're like, we consulted with local law enforcement officials. They acknowledged in the statement that was released on Thursday that they just talked to like elected officials that moment.
Whoa.
So like those 3 months of like all this and the fact that this was put up with no consultation at all by local leaders, Mayor Garino is like, he's bringing it.
Because they're basically saying, you need to understand that, and that's why we're so excited to be going to La Frontera to record live there within the fix. See you there. Is because we're trying to say it's really complicated and beautiful and intense. And, the happiest time in my life was when I was one of the happiest was when I was living between San Diego and Tijuana, crossing the border every day. So this whole notion of like the horrors, it's the horrors that this administration has created because they don't want any immigrants, undocumented immigrants looking for work, undocumented people who are seeking political asylum and coming through the right way are now being told we'll stay in Mexico until we decide.
Yeah.
So part of that, I think, you know, to be waking up still and to be hearing, because I've been here all week in a hotel. And so, yes, the television is on and there's a television in my mirror in the bathroom.
Oh, yes, because you're one of those places where it's like you fancy, turn the bat.
Fancy
like,
schmancy.
You're living the 1%, Maria.
Oh, hell yes, I am. I'm swimming every morning in a heated pool.
You're not really like feeling bad about that for a second.
No, I'm doing self-love, you guys. I love you guys.
Maria,
thank you for
self-care. I love that.
Thank you for putting up with me. But the point is that, you know, every morning you like still hear the conversation about the wall and the this and the borders. And it's just like, and it's been really tough. It's so I'm encouraging everybody, because it's not just Mexicans like me or Puerto Ricans like Julio or whoever. If you're feeling this way, I don't know what you got to do this weekend, but do a little bit of it. Go take a walk in nature. Do something to do. Do the apple cider vinegar, whatever it is that you need to do. Because we all need to take a breath, which leads us to our last little thing. Well, I had two little things.
First of all, I'm like in the studio with you and you're wearing, can you just describe the earrings that you're wearing?
The earrings that I'm wearing are like the Mexican version of door knockers. So they are silver and they're like down to the bottom of my neck. And so there's a lot of jinglies, you hear? It's a lot of jinglies because I got these when I was in Mexico with Sandra Cisneros, the great American writer.
Yeah.
And she told me I need to start representing more Mexican.
Like blatantly, like you're like
blatant badass Mexican. Like I'm wearing a huipil, cabrones.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen is that we are both receiving the Frederick Douglass Award on February 14th.
In D.C., in the nation's capital.
Yes.
And you're going to be proudly Mexican.
Oh, hell yes. Everything will be dressed by Sandra Cisneros. I know.
Oh, my. Oh.
She lent me her huipil. It's black velvet embroidery. She told me that I'm wearing black velvet pants with platform shoes like from the 1970s and Rebozo. Yeah, so I'm representing. So that's the happy part.
Because you wanted to tell me something quickly as well.
Look, the thing is that this whole term, we're going to talk more about this whole term of illegal immigrant, and we've heard it a lot.
And the language being used,
like
border security.
Several people said it on the air. Chris Matthews said it. Actually, I think it was in a New York Times piece again.
Yeah, Chris Matthews called it illegal people. It's right. still there. But given the context of that story about Trump's undocumented workers, that they once they spoke out, they got let go. They got fired from the from their
many of them having worked there for years,
right.
almost decades. OK, when we draw out the criticism to our fellow journalists, one, you know, some people are being real jerks about it and they're horrible people. But when we're calling this out to our fellow journalists, it's actually made with love and respect. And we would like to encourage the conversation. There are a lot of serious things that we need to be talking about, like children being separated permanently from their parents and being potentially adopted away, right? But how did we get here is because of the allowance of being labeled an illegal people. So a word that is very problematic, we knew never to say it, which is kind of what we would hope happens with the word illegal. It's never said.
We never said it in my Bronx Italian family.
And the word is, please be prepared. It's an ugly word. It's WAP. Street definition that I came to understand it was that it stood for without papers.
So I'm going to get really Harvard on you for a second because I know that there's a controversy about it because linguistically, that's not the origin of it.
Etymologically, yes.
Yeah. Etymologically, as they say in Cambridge.
Yes.
But I do want to point out that what you're saying, like other people have said it. So for example, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has actually has used it in speeches. And then he says, you know what they called Italian Americans back in the day? They called them WAPs. You know what WAP stood for? Without papers. So in the Italian American community, at least, you know, being from the Bronx, like under, like that from the street, that was the meaning.
The whole conversation around the word, the term illegal, is that it is a term that should not be used. It should not be mistakenly used. If you continue to dehumanize people by using these terms, it can lead to the point to where we are now, which is where we have children who have been ripped apart from their parents' arms, and we don't know where they are because this government doesn't see value in their lives. That is the relationship to why we don't use the term illegal. And we say that with love, and we can preach that with love and respect.
And we're not angry, and we're not activists, and take that.
Take that. With love.
Anyway.
That's it. That's in the thick.
What a
sound
Friday.
Off for Friday.
Uno, dos, tres.
I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Just a reminder, In the Thick is headed to the Rio Grande Valley of Texas this month. Woo! For some live shows and a podcasting workshop.
I can't wait. I'm like so excited. And even though both the events are at capacity already, like they're
sold
like,
out, hello,
it's done, you can still be part of the fun, like because we really, really believe in this. We want your voices to be part of our live show from the borderland.
Like we'll ask all of the questions that you want us to ask. I met a Harvard student who is doing a fascinating research project about whether or not there is in Mexico and on the U.S. side of the border an understanding of really being bicultural and how it's taught or not. So you can participate by calling into our listener call-in line at In the Thick. It's 505-226-8973. If you're from the border, we want to hear what's one thing that people don't understand about the region. And if you're not from the border, what's something that you want to know from the people who live there?
So call us. Our In the Thick hotline is 505-226-8973.
And also remember, more homework. Go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. It really helps us. Also, you can listen to us on Pandora and on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. So you better be announcing that at dinner time. Also, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show. Like us on Facebook and tell your family and friends to listen while you're eating Sunday brunch. In the Thick is produced by Juan Pablo Garnham and Nicole Rothwell. Our audio engineers are Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. Our intern, muchas gracias, Lidia. Our
Cubana.
Intern, yes, bravo,
viva Cuba.
Lidia, que viva Cuba. Lidia Hernandez Tapia, it's been such a joy having you. And I know that you're going to stay close to the Futuro family. Can't wait to see what you do, Lidia. Thanks for all that you've done.
We want to thank the Podcast Garage in Boston, the Austin Brighton neighborhood in Boston, for recording with us today.
All right, the music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional Kept and ZZK Records. I'm on my way back to New York City. Yes! Yes! And we'll see you on our next episode of In the Thick next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Ciao.
So just rock and roll with us, okay? Please, just rock and roll with us. We're going to have a good time.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, rock and roll. Okay, here we go.
Cory Wilkett. Sorry.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.